This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The last time a pope visited the Philippines was 20 years ago, and that was Pope John Paul II. That visit actually was blemished by an assassination attempt, if you remember. So we spoke to Dr. Lisandro Claudio with the Department of Political Science at Ateneo de Manila University to find out more about Pope Francis's visit to the Philippines.
Officially, he said it's a pastoral visit. So by pastoral, he means he's there to preach and he's there to deepen. I'm speaking in church speak. He's there to promote the gospel in the Philippines, which has always been a crucial area for the Catholic Church, as it is the only majority Catholic country in the Philippines, in Asia rather. And so as the church shifts its focus from its traditional bailiwicks, like say Italy or Europe, and starts to focus on what we know as the Global South, the Philippines becomes a much more important place because of its large Catholic population.
So Pope Francis is known for highlighting issues close to the heart of not only the Christian community. Now, he's been labelled by many in the media as progressive, with his speeches and his sermon messages, and also his social media engagement. And he's done a lot to garner goodwill that was perhaps lost amid the controversies that have plagued the church for decades. So Presida Acosta, who is the chief public attorney of the Department of Justice, helps us summarise some of the issues that were raised by the pontiff during his visit.
He is after promoting the welfare of the poor in our country and to promote social justice and the as a sign to the government of the Philippines that the government's trust must be more on anti-poverty measures that would uplift the livelihood, employment, and justice for the poor and the underprivileged.
Dr. Lisandro also weighs in on this issue.
One issue that he did address that was of concern to Filipinos was the issue of corruption. When he addressed some of the politicians in the presidential palace in Malacanang, he talked about corruption and he talked about how public officials need to have integrity as they serve. If there's one thing the Philippine media is kind of abuzz about, it's that I think the visit highlighted the close relationship between Pope Francis and the Archbishop of Manila, Archbishop Luis Antonio Tagle. I mean, this is the first time Filipinos have had someone in the running to become Pope. So a lot of people are saying if Tagle seems so close to the Pope, he might be really as powerful as some people thought him to be. And that means when the time comes to select a new pope, his name is probably going to come up again. I mean, he's actually already one of the presidents of the extraordinary synod for bishops that discussed family issues in the Vatican last year.
So Pope Francis also discussed population control and contraceptives during his visit. Now, he unsurprisingly defended traditional Vatican teaching, which opposes artificial contraception. So this topic is particularly controversial in the Philippines, which recently passed a policy to expand access to contraceptives in order to combat its high birth rate.
The Catholic Church in the Philippines was vehemently against the very popular reproductive health law, which aims to provide family planning services to indigent families in the Philippines. And that was a 15-year-old war between feminists, progressives, and the Catholic Church. And the result of that was basically the church started bullying a lot of pro-reproductive health advocates, including the president himself. You know, they threatened the president with excommunication, for example. And as a result of that, I think the church lost a lot of its influence, of its discursive influence, because they were so unreasonable in the way they were conducting that campaign. But definitely, from an anecdotal perspective, I know a lot of people who became disillusioned with the Catholic Church after that campaign, but that campaign is more or less settled. The bill is now a law, right? And so in a way, the progressives have won, although the law was very watered down, but still it was a symbolic victory against the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church doesn't lose a lot in terms of politics. This was one of its major defeats. it seems as if the Catholic Church is extremely monolithic when it comes to its reproductive health care position. And to some extent, that's true. When you're looking at kind of institutional church figures like the bishops and the Pope himself, but there are many within the Catholic hierarchy who actually supported that bill. So, for example, one of the biggest advocates of that bill was a group called Catholics for Reproductive Health. There were also a number of priests who were advocates of that bill. So it's very hard to say that the church gets defeated as an institution or Catholicism as a concept gets defeated because its bishops got defeated on the issue of reproductive health. I mean, it's more complex than that because a lot of people were voicing their dissent against the bishops within the grammar, actually, of Catholic theology and Catholic faith. But I have many Catholic friends who voice their defense through Catholic doctrine, in fact, through critiques of Humanae Vitae, which is the papal encyclical that basically banned contraception.
The Philippines is home to 80 million Catholics. Now, that's the highest Christian population in Asia. However, Dr. Lisandro believes that there are many that are born into the religion and are merely cultural Christians.
Catholicism is a cultural reality in the Philippines and will remain a cultural reality in the Philippines. It's something you have to deal with on an everyday basis, even if you don't go to Mass. You know, you go to a seminar in the Philippines and somebody will start it with a prayer, just assuming that everyone is Catholic. You go to Congress in the Philippines, you will have some sessions. It might begin with an ecumenical prayer. They will always pray in the beginning of congressional sessions because that kind of religiosity that comes from the deep Catholic tradition is so deeply embedded in the psyche of Filipinos. The statistics lie. I mean, in a way, the statistics are inaccurate because it's almost de rigueur for any Filipino born into a Catholic family to be baptized Catholic. So in terms of the numbers, it seems as if Catholicism is still quite powerful. But the question then becomes, like, these Filipinos who are baptized Catholic afterwards, you know, do they attend Mass? Are they practicing Catholics? I mean, that's a very dicey issue.
So Chief Acosta explains how the influence of Catholicism has affected the socio-political landscape of the Philippines.
The church by influence, but still the rule of law is being upheld by our Supreme Court because of our constitution, 1987 constitution, which states that the church and the state shall be separated from each other. So the bishops, the priests, and the Catholic hierarchies respect the rule of law and the laws of the land. So there's no problem because, anyway, the laws of our country are also based from the Bible or from our religious concerns. So there's no problem about that. There's no conflict between the religion and the state or the courts because divine laws are being promoted by the church, and while the Supreme Court and other lower courts are promoting the rule of law and justice. And justice is also being promoted by the religious groups as well, especially the Catholic group.
So here's what Dr. Lisandro has to say about the influence of the Catholic Church on the nation as a whole.
One thing that needs to be noted is the continued influence of the Catholic Church over the country's elite. So if you look at, for instance, the top four universities in the Philippines, three out of those top four are Catholic universities. If you whittle that down to the top three, it's two out of three of those universities are Catholic universities. And these are universities that teach Catholic theology, mandatorily teach Catholic theology for one thing. So as a result, you get the country's elite thinking as products of Catholic institutions. And that's a kind of power that is going to be very, very difficult to shake. And we're just talking about universities here. Most of the prominent high schools as well that become feeder schools for this university, most of them are Catholic. So the question is a lot more complex than the influence of the Catholic Church as a whole. The other thing you have to look at is, like, yeah, maybe Mass attendance is down, but what about the influence of specific groups within the Catholic Church? One thing that needs to be talked about is that you have a Jesuit Pope, and the Jesuits have had a very, very long engagement with the Philippines. What kind of message does that, what kind of power does that give the Jesuit community in the Philippines, which actually runs the elite university of the Philippines?
That was Dr. Lisandro from the Ateneo de Manila University. And earlier we heard Chief Acosta, the Chief Public Attorney of the Department of Justice in the Philippines. I'm Melissa Idris for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.